You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. In our last lecture, we were talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in which the message of the cross is proclaimed by the apostles to reveal to us our Redeemer. But we noted how to the unbeliever this is complete folly, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. And then Paul quotes from the book of Isaiah, in particular, Isaiah chapter 29. Now, we noted that chapter 29 is directly connected to 28 and the entire book of Isaiah. But in particular, when we talked about 28, we were noting that the Lord our God had proclaimed that he would lay a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. And whoever believes will not be put in haste. That's Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 16. Now, we ended our last lecture by saying that we were going to talk about Paul's connecting this passage in Isaiah 28 to the passage that we'll find in Isaiah chapter 8. And so in today's lecture, we'll look at Paul's connection between the two. As Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, we'll look at how Paul talks about the foundation the Lord has laid through the proclamation of the apostles in the letter to the Ephesians. We'll look at Paul's epistle to the Romans and see how Paul connects these two passages of Isaiah. Likewise, we'll also look at how the apostle Peter does the same thing. Peter the Apostle himself, he'll talk about how Christ is the cornerstone, how Christ is this stumbling stone, and of course, Peter will connect these two passages from Isaiah with Psalm 118, the stone that the builders have rejected. So let's begin by looking once again at 1 Corinthians. Paul proclaims that the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. And so in chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says this, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. So here's where Paul makes it clear that this crucified Christ, the message of the cross, is a stumbling block to the Jews. Now in Isaiah chapter 8, at verses 14 through 15, here's what the Lord proclaims that he's going to do. The Lord proclaims through the mouth of Isaiah that the Lord himself will become a stumbling block. So in Isaiah chapter 8, we read this, "And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken, and they shall be snared and taken." So this is Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, where the Holy Spirit speaks through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming the coming Christ, who will be a rock of stumbling, a stone of offense. And so Isaiah talks about this strong stone, but it will be a stumbling stone. because the religious people of the day, those who even have the scripture, the scholars, the people of God with the scripture, they won't listen to the wisdom of God. They will merely see this as the opinion of Isaiah. And so they will stumble across this as total foolishness to their wise thinking. But it's this stone that the Lord will make the cornerstone. And so this is what he declares in Isaiah chapter 28, that I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. But again, to those who are perishing, this is complete folly, and it's a stumbling block, even to the people of God, the Jews, who hear and have the Word of God. And so Paul will talk in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about this being a stumbling stone to the Jews. And then later on, when Paul will talk in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is where he talks about the language of the foundation. That Christ is the stone that is the foundation stone, the cornerstone. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. So Paul's taking these two understandings of the rock from Isaiah chapter 8, the rock that's going to be an offense, the stumbling stone, and the rock that's going to be precious, the foundation cornerstone, and taking these two together so that it's in the foundation of the message of the cross that Christ will build his church. So in the proclamation of who Jesus is and what he's done, this crucified Christ preached to all nations, to the Jews and Gentiles, this is the foundation that is laid upon which the church will be built. So that God comes to build using the message of the cross. He comes to establish, he lays this foundation through these instrumental means. And so what you'll see Paul talk in Romans chapter 15, he says this in verse 20, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. That's Romans 15, verse 20. See, again, the proclamation of the cross, the message of the crucified Christ, is this gospel that is preached that lays the foundation of God's holy temple. That God is building his kingdom, bringing in people through the means of the holy gospel, making them his holy people and building his holy church. In Romans chapter 9, this is how Paul will speak when he says this. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But it was based upon works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. That's Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. So here Paul, just like he says to the Corinthians in his first epistle, Paul says the same consistent message, that we preach Christ crucified, but it is a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Greeks. so that those who were Jews did not believe, and so that by not believing, they have rejected the rock. They have stumbled over the rock that is being put in their in front of their faces by the proclamation of the word. It's the rock that the Lord is using to build upon. But notice when Paul says that Isaiah said this, he quotes from Isaiah, but what he does is he quotes more than just one passage, but he splices them together. See, Paul says, just as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, if you go back and look at Isaiah 28, verse 16, we read it this way. Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. You see, in Isaiah's passage of 28, he speaks about the stone, the tested stone, the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation. But he doesn't call it a stumbling stone there. It's back in Isaiah chapter 8 where Isaiah talks about the stumbling stone, that the Lord himself will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. You see, Paul is taking what Isaiah had proclaimed in the totality of his message about the rock, the foundation that the Lord would lay in Zion. This is the rock he would build his church upon. But this same rock that's used to build will be the same rock that those who think they are wise will stumble upon. In Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, he assures them that they have been brought into this household of God, that although they were Gentiles converted to faith in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are being built up into this holy house of the Lord. And so Paul will say this in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So you have here the Spirit of God working through the message of the apostles, the message of the apostles and the prophets, who all speak of the rock that the Lord would use to build his church, the rock that will be the foundation, the cornerstone, but the rock that will also be a stumbling stone to those who are the people of God who refuse to listen to the voice of God in the mouths of the prophets and in the mouths of the apostles. So that this stone that God is declaring through the prophets and the apostles is going to be used by God to build his church. But it's this very stone that is rejected by the builders of the house of Israel. So you have this total contrast that the leaders of the people of God choose not to use this stone to build their temple, to build their kingdom, to build their world, if you will. But instead, it's God who chooses to use this stumbling stone to build his temple, his his people, his kingdom, and his new world. It's this stone that is rejected, but yet it's the one that God chooses to build with. The builders reject it, but God is the one who will use it. And so you see this message of the apostles about Jesus being the foundation of God's kingdom that he's building. The apostles have been sent out to make disciples of all nations, proclaiming Jesus, the foundation, the cornerstone, yet rejected by the builders, the leaders of the people of Israel. You see this whole confrontation play its way out in the book of Acts. Specifically, if you look at Acts chapter 4, you have Peter being confronted by the religious leaders. And they want and they demand from Peter, what power, by what authority, how is he doing these miraculous things? And here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 4. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. So here the Apostle Peter is proclaiming the message of the cross. He is preaching crucified Christ to those who hear. But yet those who hear have rejected Christ. They have rejected this stone. And they refuse to listen. They resist the Holy Spirit as he continues to reveal to them the truth. But it is their unbelief that seals them in their fate of rejecting the stone that God himself will use to build his kingdom. And so you see this contrast that they're the ones who rejected the stone. God is the one who uses the stone as the corner, the headstone. It's these ones who have crucified Christ, contradistinction to God who has raised the Christ. And so you have this message of Peter centered in Psalm 118, where Psalm 118, verses 22 through 23 says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And so Peter is proclaiming that their rejection of Jesus, their rejection of this stone, is going to be the way that God will work to bring about his kingdom. He will work through their rejecting of the stone to make the stone the cornerstone, the tested stone, the precious stone, the one who will be the foundation for his kingdom. And it is the Lord's work, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So this is what St. Peter says in his sermon, if you will, in Acts chapter 4, which coincides with what St. Peter then also says in his first epistle, chapter 2. So if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4, we read this. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture. Here's where St. Peter will quote. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Here's where he quotes from Isaiah chapter 28. And then he comments and says this. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So here's where he now quotes from Psalm 118. And then he goes on to say, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, where he now splices together all three of these passages from the Old Testament scriptures. Now this is from Isaiah chapter 8. So that St. Peter will go on saying this, they stumbled because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So that we see in this the understanding that God has established his stone. His stone will be the foundation, but this stone will be rejected because it is a stumbling stone. It is a rock of offense to those who feel they are wiser than God. Those who feel that as Bible scholars, they know the Bible better than the Holy Spirit. So they refuse to listen to the messengers of God through which the Holy Spirit speaks. They resist the work of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul talks about this language of disobedience, the language here of disobedience is to refuse to believe. They are rejecting the message of the cross, just like they rejected the stone himself. So in the rejection of the stone by the builders, this stone is used by God to build, to become the cornerstone and the foundation of his church. So you see this contrast between the way of the world and natural man and the wisdom of man rejecting the wisdom of God. So that man refuses to listen to what God declares. Man thinks he is wiser than God. Man resists the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's through the message of the cross that God comes to reveal the reality that in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. That in Christ, we have peace with God. And so the apostles are sent out to proclaim this message as the means through which salvation comes. So that in the proclamation of the message of the cross, the Holy Spirit is given and faith is bestowed. But when one refuses to listen, when one refuses to hear the wisdom of God, he resists the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the constant theme throughout the Old and New Testaments. That throughout these scriptures we hear of the prophets and the apostles sent by God to speak his word. But the mind of the natural man resists and rejects and refuses to listen. For by nature, because of sin, we hate God and his word, and we don't want to know any of God's knowledge because we think we are wiser. But it is God in his love and his mercy who continues to send, who continues to send his prophets, his apostles in the New Testament, prophets in Old Testament, to reveal the Christ. And then for posterity's sake, he has given to us the written scripture to continue to reveal the Christ to us in our day. But yet, we struggle with this because the natural man does not want to hear. Even in the days of Jesus, when Jesus comes, before in the former days God spoke by the prophets, but now in these last days he's spoken by his Son. But guess what? When the incarnate word comes to his own people, his own people reject him. And so Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 20 about how he comes and the father sends his son and then they want to kill the son to take his inheritance. And Jesus says, what will happen to those who've done this? And of course, the religious leaders of the day say, those scoundrels will be destroyed. And this is in Luke chapter 20 at the conclusion of this. We have at verse 18 this. Starting at 17, I should say, actually. But Jesus looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Now the scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. And so here in Luke's gospel, we understand Jesus talking of himself in the way that Isaiah talks. That Jesus is this stone that will be a stumbling stone, that will break those who stumble upon it. We hear Jesus talking the language of Psalm 118, where he is the stone that the builders have rejected, and he becomes the cornerstone. So that we see throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, God loves his creation. God speaks his word to his creation. But yet fallen creation will not listen. How many times did Jesus send the prophets trying to gather his people under his wings like a hen, but they would not come? You see, to the unbeliever, the message about the Redeemer is folly. The message of the cross is total foolishness and a stumbling block. So as theologians of the cross, we understand the difficulties at the task at hand that we have. First, we are to take the Word of God ourselves and listen, and continue to listen to the voice of Jesus and not resist the Holy Spirit and His work. But secondarily, we understand that when we proclaim this Word, how difficult it is for the unbeliever to hear it. In fact, it is impossible for the unbeliever to hear it, because the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit. So it's not the bare naked word in and of itself, as if it's some kind of a magical thing you can just hand somebody a tract and they automatically become quote-unquote saved, but rather the Word of God is efficacious when the Holy Spirit uses that word. It's the Holy Spirit who uses the means of the gospel to bring faith where there is none, to build where there is destruction, to lay this foundation, to raise up God's people into a holy church, making people holy by bringing them in through the living stone. It was the temple in the Old Testament times where people had access to God. It is Christ who is the temple of God through which we have access to the Father now in the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who is using the message of Jesus to bring us into this temple.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.